Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is Genesis chapter 14, verses 1 through 16. The Reverend Sean Denzer is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from Genesis, the 14th chapter. In the days of Amraphel, king of Shinar, Arioch, king of Elazar, Chedorlaomer, king of Elam, and Tidal, king of Goyim. These kings made war with Bera, king of Sodom, Birsha, king of Gomorrah, and Shinab, king of Admah, Shemeber, king of Zeboim, and the king of Bela, that is, Zoar. And all these joined forces in the valley of Siddim, that is, the Salt Sea. 12 years they had served Chedorlaomer, but in the 13th year they rebelled. In the 14th year, Chedorlaomer and the kings who were with him came and defeated the Rephaim in Eshteroth-Karnaim, the Zuzim in Ham, the Emim in Sheva-Kiriathaim, and the Horites in their hill country of Seir, as far as El Paran on the border of the wilderness. Then they turned back and came to En-Mishpat, that is, Kadesh, and defeated all the country of the Amalekites, and also the Amorites who were dwelling in Hazazon-Tamar. Then the king of Sodom, the king of Gomorrah, the king of Admah, the king of Zeboim, and the king of Bela, that is, Zoar, went out, and they joined battle in the valley of Siddim with Chedorlaomer, king of Elam, Tidal, king of Goyim, Amraphel, king of Shinar, and Arioch, king of Elazar, 4 kings against 5. Now the valley of Siddim was full of bitumen pits. And as the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah fled, some fell into them, and the rest fled to the hill country. So the enemy took all the possessions of Sodom and Gomorrah and all their provisions and went their way. They also took Lot, the son of Abram's brother, who was dwelling in Sodom, and his possessions, and went their way. Then one who had escaped came and told Abram the Hebrew, who was living by the oaks of Mamre, the Amorite, the brother of Eshcol and of Aner. These were allies of Abram. When Abram heard that his kinsmen had been taken captive, he led forth his trained men, born in his house, 318 of them, and went in pursuit as far as Dan. And he divided his forces against them by night, he and his servants, and defeated them and pursued them to Hobah, north of Damascus. Then he brought back all the possessions and also brought back his kinsman Lot with his possessions and the women and the people. O Lord, have mercy on us. In many and various ways God spoke to his people of old by the prophets. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through encouragement of the Scriptures we might have hope. There are very many lessons that might be gleaned from the triumph of the 4 kings over the 5 and Abram's response to it. The first is that it pays to practice the readings beforehand. And the second is that we should not expect better from sinful man. This first war ever recorded in the Bible comes quickly, really, after Noah, already proving the Lord's words true, that the desires of man's heart are only evil continually. These vassals in the Jordan Valley threw off their masters in rebellion, inspiring then an aggressive invasion of which revenge was only the very last bit of it. Chedorlaomer and his allies foreshadowed the great eastern powers to come from Babylon, Persia, and probably Assyria. And they swept down the eastern side of the Jordan, south of the Dead Sea. Then they went back up to finish off the 5 cities in the valley, probably just on the southeastern corner of the Dead Sea. But of course, we don't really know where Sodom and Gomorrah are now. And then it seems they must have taken their captives back up the western bank of the Jordan, past the Sea of Galilee, we know that one, and then back out to the east, which took them past Hebron and Abram. There's a lesson to learn from Abram's dispassionate attitude toward all of it as well. Were it not for Lot, he would not have engaged in this war at all. Not every two-sided question requires an answer from me. Surest of all yet, there are negative lessons to be learned from Lot, and I'm sorry to say that won't end today. His choice of better land might have simply been wisdom and not greed, but his choice to do it while living near the Sodomites was also a choice to enter into temptation and to put himself in harm's way. Of all the lessons we might observe and wish to imitate, Abram's action today. Here he shows himself a man of valor and a man of war, not out of greed and gain, but out of service to his kinsmen. We know the story of the Good Samaritan a lot better than this one. So we're easily convinced that it is only good to love strangers and that it would be selfish if we were to ever do anything to care for our own family or protect them. That's a misunderstanding. Even in the New Testament and in the church herself, while we honor everyone, we love the brotherhood. We should readily do good to all men, and yet it says especially to those who are of the household of faith. And so this non-issue became an issue for Abram when his nephew was captured. The risk he took was a dutiful one and a noble one. He acted specifically and shrewdly to recover Lot, not to leverage his own riches so that he could gain more spoils for himself, but to keep the seventh commandment, to improve and protect his neighbor's possessions and income, and especially to preserve life. And most of these lessons, and probably more that you could glean from this, they're fine. They're fine as far as they go. But these things were written so that through endurance and comfort of the Scriptures, we would have hope. So what endurance is enabled here? What comfort are we given? What hope do we have? The names and the places set a stage for a battle that doesn't seem to matter very much. It's our habit to point out that wars and rumors of wars is our Lord's way of obfuscating his prophecies so that we cannot calculate, so that we cannot prognosticate what is the end or if it's near, but rather we must believe it and we must watch for it at all times because these things appear to just be going on as they always do. And really, isn't this text just a setup? We're all lost as to why we're hearing this stuff until Lot's name is mentioned. And then we see why it was we had to endure today's story. Next time, I think, we'll discover that even Lot's rescue is just another setup for something even more strange. The priest and king of peace out of nowhere who blesses Abram and receives the tithe himself. Well, dear Christians, let it be believed and recognized then that we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. And that this is true even when we have true enemies, when we have practical duties that have to be done with the hand, with money, or even with the sword. Because there really is a prince of this world. We have sung about him, and there is a conspiracy, except that we do not fight it as most people fight conspiracies, not in the conventional manner. And likewise, and indeed of much greater encouragement, we do not wrestle alongside flesh and blood either. Come on, 318 trained men dividing their smaller force against a larger force? And Abram, they won this battle? No. The Most High God delivered the enemies into their hands. And likewise, Christ Jesus is the one who overthrows this world's prince, who conquers sin, even in the hearts of man, and who gives hope. And he does this not by giving us a victory in every real or metaphorical battle, not by rescuing us from every true or symbolic captor, even. He does it finally by raising us from the dead. He comes to judge the world. It's a judgment that is proclaimed to us in advance by his cross. And that fact renders all flesh and blood matters penultimate. Not unimportant, but penultimate and limited. That frees us then to engage them without the need to think that we will be justified in them. We see that even then the most obscurely recorded battles of the Bible, God himself has set up in order that he might work his salvation for us in Christ Jesus. Whatever it is that we must endure with patience, and whatever occasion we must rise to meet with action, let us do our duty honorably and faithfully. And that will be enough, because our hope is elsewhere. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.